Okay.
Open your Bibles with me to Matthew 28. There's a song that I want to sing. Okay. Yeah, we sang it yesterday. I remember. Glory to God. Okay. We'll take it to the next section. Matthew 28, 4 verses 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all power, that's the word there, exousia, authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He says, go ye therefore and make disciples, teach all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen. So yesterday, we said, when he says make disciples or go teach all nations, that word there is to make disciples. And we said disciples are made by what? Teaching. Did we say that? Teaching them. So we said when you use that word teaching, that's the word didasko. We said that word means, it's the word that carries with it how and what is taught, right? That a good Bible student should pay attention to how scriptures are what? Explained. There's a way you should read your Bible. There's a way you should read and interpret your Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we began to ask the question, how did Jesus read his Bible? Right? How did Jesus read his Bible? We looked at Matthew 7, verses 28. Now, Jesus was done teaching them, and look at what they said. He said, for it came to pass, when Jesus had ended this thing, that the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes, as one having authority. So they saw the difference between how Jesus taught from the scriptures and how the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught from the scriptures. Now, take note, they were reading from the same source. They were reading from the same, what we call Old Testament books, right? From the same Genesis to Malachi. We're going to get there. Hallelujah. So Jesus didn't teach like they thought. Hallelujah. And we're all reading from the same book. Look at John 5:39. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and he said, search the scriptures. You search the scriptures. So it means that the Pharisees were reading the scriptures. And I told you yesterday that Jesus had a Bible. Right? What is Jesus' Bible? Let me see if you were here yesterday. What is Jesus' Bible? Genesis to what? Malachi. Thank you. So Jesus' Bible is Genesis to Malachi. So that was where the Pharisees were reading. Now Jesus said to them in John 5 verses 39, he said to them, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me, but you will not come to me that ye might have life. So that means the Pharisees also read from the same book that Jesus read. But their explanation was wrong. Look at what Jesus said in that John 5:39. He says, if then you think you have eternal life, but these are they. Now these are they, they're referring to Genesis and to Malachi. He said, they testify of me, but you will not come to me that you may have life. And that shows you that their explanation of where Jesus is reading from and where they are reading from is wrong. Their conclusion is wrong. Okay, follow me. Amen? Their conclusion is wrong. So therefore, Jesus will warn his disciples in Matthew 16, that we'll get to shortly, but let's look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Jesus warned his disciples. Matthew 16, verses... Are you there? Verse 6, I'll read verse 6 and verse 12 so you understand what he's talking about. It's that Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the living of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Say, beware of the living. Now, they were now thinking, is it bread? Is right? Jesus said, was it bread? Yeah, I just thought he was referring to bread. But Jesus now explained it in verses 11. How is it that you did not understand? I think it's not so you concerning bread. That ye should beware of the living of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So he's telling them, I'm not talking about bread. You see that? But rather in verse 12, then on that 2 days, how we beg them to beware of the living of bread. I mean, on that 2 days,
that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine. What is the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Now, the word doctrine there is the word that is used for how what is explained is explained. So Jesus is saying to them, beware of how they explain scripture. And Jesus calls their explanation of scriptures living. Living is used for what is corrupt. Don't they hear me? What is corrupt? What is not in order? What is not good? So meaning, the way they explain scriptures is wrong. So that means we will have people explain scriptures wrongly. Don't they hear me? But there is a way scriptures should be explained. Hallelujah. People can carry the same scripture that you are carrying and say all manner of things from inside. Okay, hear me. And remember I told you, if you take a text of scripture out of context, if you quote it out of context, you can give it any meaning the author wants you to give to it. And we saw one yesterday, right? I can do all things. We should give you God now, so we can do all things. Is carrying God not part of all things? And let's send you to Sandisa. You can do all things. What am I following me? That's not the context. The context is not about job or what am I following me? I told you about how somebody said he was employed and that was the day he was sacked. The day he resumed work, he was sacked. He said, the Bible says, where the soul of my fish has set upon, shall be given to unto me for an inheritance. And he began to pace around the office. Till he paced into the MD's office. And then he said, what is this? HR calls, I'm going to sack this guy. Before we know it, I will come and sit on my chair. I say, where I will sit is mine. Amen? Glory to God. So you can't take scripture out of context. There's a how scripture should be explained. There's a how. Tell someone there's a how. Amen? And we're looking at the how. Glory to God. Glory to God. I shared with us about my friend. He came to my house and carried my CDs. CDs. In fact, not just CDs. He carried more than CDs, but I have to drop top at CDs. I used to buy books of Kenneth Hagin at EW Kenya. Those books will just be missing. And the next you'll find it in the van. There was one I was looking for after like a year or two, and I saw it with this Mountain Moving Faith by Smith Wigglesworth. I said, you get this book. He was not laughing. He will come to us and carry my thing. So one day I asked him, I'm looking for my CD. I was not telling him that because I know he was with it, no. I was just asking, how many people do CDs? He now said they are with him. When did you CD like last week? Like how? What did you tell? He said, the earth is the Lord on my CD with my money. Amen. Never take scriptures out of context. Scriptures are not for quoting. I told you that, right? They are not for what? Quoting. We are going to see what scriptures are not for again today. Scriptures are not for quoting. What are scriptures for? Teaching. We saw that, right? 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for teaching. Amen? For teaching. Scriptures are for teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 19. The Pharisees came to Jesus. Hallelujah. They came to Jesus. Verses 3. And the Pharisees came unto him, tempting him. What is and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Watch it. So they came asking him questions. Okay, follow me. They came asking him questions so as to tempt him. So as to do what? Tempt him. Hallelujah. They were inquisitive. Just like they were inquisitive. Hallelujah. So as to tempt him. Look at verse 4. It says, and Jesus answered and said to them, have ye no rent? He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. Watch it. They came to tempt him. And answered, shall a man put away his wife for every cause? Now, that shows you how they read scripture. They went to Deuteronomy. Straight up, they went to Deuteronomy. When they asked that question, that is a question in Deuteronomy, Moses' law. Right? So Jesus now said, Before you get to Deuteronomy, you have to go to Genesis. He now said, he that made them at the beginning. What is beginning again? What's beginning again? He that made them in Genesis made them male and female. Did you see that? Amen. So Jesus, what Jesus has done there, Jesus took them back. That before you get to Deuteronomy, you have to go back to what? Genesis. Hallelujah. So, question. What did they come to do? They came to asking questions. So, I have to find a fault. You see that? So, I have to do what? Find a fault. They wanted to fault Jesus. And they read wrongly. You see that? Look at Matthew 22:45. I mean, Matthew 22:15. Just two or three chapters away. Matthew 22:15. Then when the Pharisees and then went the Pharisees and took counsel that they might entangle him in his talk. You see that? That they might do what? Entangle him in his what? Talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. So disciple is not a Jesus coined word. The Pharisees have disciples. Hope you can see. Amen. Herodians say, Master, we know that thou art true and thou teachest the way of the Lord. They are trying to massage his ego. Be careful of those who are God. You know, they are a charmer. They were trying to hype men. So you are a man of God. Better careth thou for any man, and thou regard not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt me, ye hypocrites? Did you hear that? So what did they come to do? They came to ask him questions from scripture so that they can find fault. But they can do what? That they can find fault. Hallelujah. Look at verse 34. And when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Tempting him. Hallelujah. So they came to question, trust to tempt him. But look at how Jesus answered all their questions in this scenario. These three scenarios. He answered them from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' response was from the scriptures. And his response was to show you that scriptures is not for fault finding. What are you saying that? Scriptures is not used for what? Fault finding. It's a wrong approach to read your Bible. That some people want to go and read their Bible so they can find fault in what another person is preaching. No! Scripture is not for fault finding. Scripture is to be taught. Amen? Scriptures are for teaching. Now, in teaching, you have correction. Did you see that? 2 Timothy 3:16. For reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Amen? But to approach Bible so as to find a fault in what somebody is saying is a wrong approach to how you read your Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Is it what? Is a wrong approach to how you read your Bible. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, scripture is all reading fault. It's for teaching first. For teaching. So therefore, a good teacher is a good reader. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means, watch Jesus' response to them. He says, have you not read? Matthew 19. Have you not read? That word, have you not read there, is the word, have you not read well? Meaning for you to be called a good teacher, you must be a good reader. Have you not read? That's the word anagenosko. It's used for to read well. To read well. Have you not read? So pay attention. Jesus is saying, have you not paid attention to this? Why did you skip it? That's what he's saying. Why did you skip it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was why in Matthew 19, they came with Deuteronomy in verse 4, verse 3, and Jesus said, he that made them at the beginning, meaning if you have read from Genesis well, you won't ask this question in Deuteronomy. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So he will take them back again to Genesis. He will take them to Genesis to make them see that you should always start reading from where? Genesis. Okay, follow you. You start reading from where? Genesis. Hallelujah. Therefore, we said, how you handle the 39 books or how you handle the Old Testament books is very vital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's very vital because what we call the Old Testament book, we said yesterday, it is what? Scripture. Is what? It's scriptures. John 5:39, it's actually scriptures. All scriptures. Hallelujah. In Luke 24, Jesus will call it Moses and the prophets. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, we said, the New Testament authors were writing from where? From where? Genesis to look at Jesus. He said, they asked him, he met his disciples on their way to Emmaus. Luke 24 from verse 19. They were having that deep. And Jesus appeared, joined them, and he asked them, what kind of conversation are you having? And look at what they replied, Jesus. They didn't even notice it was Jesus. And guess it was in the night. Amen? They didn't even notice it was him. And then they asked him, are you a Jew man? Are you a JJ? Don't you know what has been happening in this town? So they began to give Jesus gist about himself. They were gisting Jesus about what has happened. Himself, they were gisting it. So there's this guy like that. He's a mighty wolf. You see miracles. But you know what? Our chief priest and the elders, they killed him. And we thought he was supposed to redeem Israel. Ah! They fall our hands. Our economy would have been better. Jesus was a real fool and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said, open up the Christ. We're coming there. To have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. He said, beginning at Moses. Jesus was not going to give them account of what has happened to him. And he did say, let me just give you this. My name is Jesus. Calm down. Let me give you this. You see, when I die, let me tell you where I went to. No, Jesus didn't do like that. Amen. So Jesus restricted the explanation of his events to scriptures. So that means Bible is not for storytelling. It's to be explained. You don't have to talk about his own self or his own self. You know, it's easy now. You say, I went to the best university in Nigeria. Imagine, you want to tell me, hey, Pastor, tell me about your university. I don't say, open your Bible. You say, that's what Jesus did. You know, today we can just have it as this. Just put it on Twitter. Amen. But no, he didn't do that. He said, beginning at Moses. Want to tell them that he died. He said, beginning at Moses. And all the prophets. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Another person? Himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So how you handle your Bible is important. It's important. So therefore, we said, every writer of scripture, including Jesus, Jesus didn't write any scripture, but you will find it that all the time Jesus explained, he was reading from the same Genesis down to Malachi. Amen. Every preacher, every writer were writing from Genesis to Malachi. Therefore, you cannot listen. Therefore, it shows you that the New Testament is not complete without the Old Testament book. That sounds very harsh, but that's the truth. You cannot understand the New Testament without the Old Testament book. Why? Because they were writing from there. Words in the New Testament will have an origin in the Old Testament. Okay, follow me. Therefore, we say, for you to say the Old Testament is gone is not true. Because Jesus read from there. Hallelujah. The writers of the New Testament books read from there. So it's not gone. Hallelujah. Amen. is not God. Amen. Glory to God. Therefore, like we said, every writer were writing from there and they wanted to see. Look at Matthew. We were in Matthew yesterday. Matthew 1. Matthew was writing about the incarnation of Jesus. I would say they were writing incarnation as God and man. God in man, right? They were writing Jesus as God and as a man. Right? And they were not writing it as a story. And that, not a story. When Jesus came, he came down from heaven. When he landed in Israel. When Jesus came, he went to Africa. You know, Jesus was telling the story of Jesus. You know, the Matthew could have just given it as a gist. You know that? Yeah? That Jesus, we're not giving gist. But no, it was not a gist. We were writing and we were writing from Genesis. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. No storytelling. And give you story. There was a man called Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem. Amen. Amen. Look at what he says in Matthew 1. How he opens up is very important. Writing the story of Jesus. And he says, Matthew 1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Hallelujah. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, he used the word, the book of the generations. That's where you have the word genealogy. Genealogy, Genesis. That's the word Genesis. Hallelujah. So, Matthew is taking you back to Genesis. Hallelujah. And he's writing about the incarnation of Jesus, and he takes you to Genesis. Hallelujah. And he wants you to see that Jesus is both God and man. And then he puts son of David, son of Abraham. Now when I told you yesterday, when you see son of David, son of Abraham, what does it mean? It means what? The offspring of God, right? That will come through the lineage of man. Showing, so when you see son of David, son of Abraham, is it telling you he is divinity? Is it telling you Jesus is divinity? Yes, that's what he's saying. That's why I took my time to show you that yesterday when you use the word see. So when you are here, son of David, son of Abraham is a shorthand for the fact that he is both God and man. So when you hear son of David, you go back again to Psalms 110 when David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Everyone that reads scripture knows that when he said the Lord said to my Lord, he was talking about his throne, he was talking about his heir, his seed. And he says his seed will be Yahweh. Hope you're following me. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you're following me now. Glory. So, when he says, son of David, son of Abraham, he is pointing your attention that Jesus is God. The seed of God that will come through the lineage of man. So we said, in the incarnation, Jesus is both God and what? Man. 100% God. 100%, not 50-50. 100% God. 100% man. But in functionality, how we function, is function as a man. Did you see that? What are you following me? As a man. But is he God? He is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in Matthew 28, when he now says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Look at, and lo, I am. He uses that word, I am with you. Now when you hear I am with you, we're going to investigate that shortly. When you hear the word I am with you, your mind goes to where again? Exodus. Where you find God will be with them in the wilderness. God is saying to the children of Israel, I will be with you. So when Jesus said, I am with you, he's telling them he is the God of Israel that was with them in the wilderness. Hope you're following. The same verdict, the same narrative. I am with you. God said, I will be with you. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now when you get to Mark Mark 1:1. It said the beginning. He used the word again, beginning. He's talking about the incarnation of Jesus, and he's used the word beginning, Genesis. Right? In the beginning. What is it? It says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He uses the word Son of God. Son of God. Son of God. Matthew will call it Son of David, Son of Abraham. Did you see that? Son of God. Understand that? That he is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God. So, Mark 16. Again, you find it. Mark 16, verse 20. It says, after I gave them the great commission, take a serpent and say, after them, verse 19. After the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord walking with them. With the Lord doing what? With them. Walking with them. The same path of what? Of God in the Exodus. God walking with them. Hope you're following that. God walking with them. Hallelujah. John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We saw this, right? So we said when he used that word beginning there, I mean, he's referring to Genesis. In the beginning. So he's writing the Genesis. It says, in the Genesis was the Word. Right? Now what is that word Word there? It says the word Logos from the Hebrew word Dabah. Right? From the Hebrew word Dabah. In the beginning is the Dabah. The Daba was with God, and the Daba is God. So, take that Daba and put it in Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. Is that the one that walked in the garden in the cool of the day? Yes. Hallelujah. So, it said in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. And then we said that word Daba is used for the visible reality of God in the Old Testament books. Right? Right? And God was... we have the visible reality of God within the Old Testament books. So, how was God revealed to them? Not as a man, but as God. We said that, right? We saw that yesterday. So, Genesis 15:1, Genesis 15:4. 1 Samuel 3:7, 1 Samuel 3:21. God appeared to Samuel in Shiloh by the name, the Word of the Lord. Did you see that? By the name, the Word of the Lord. So, the Word of the Lord is a person within the Old Testament book for the visible reality of God. Right? Right? Not as a man, no. What is not as a man, no. So that means, was God visible to the patriarchs within the Old Testament group? Yes. Was he visible to them as a man? No. Amen. But as God. Hallelujah. Supernatural. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when I asked that question, then when John said no man has seen God at any time, what does it mean? He said it means no man has seen God as a man at any time. Hallelujah. No man has seen God as a man before. The first time God became a man is in the incarnation. Hallelujah. True name. Hallelujah. The first time God became a man. Glory to God. Hope you're following me now. Hallelujah. So we said, where were they writing from? The 39 books. Therefore we said, what will have their origin within the 39 books, Genesis to Malachi, right? And therefore, for you to use words, we have to know what is the word? What is the word? Cultural connotation of words. Right? Cultural connotation of words in their world. Because words would have its meaning in the word of the author. Hallelujah. And I gave an example. Glory to God. If you get to high school, if I tell you, oh, I'm going to Sodom and Gomorrah, the students know where Sodom and Gomorrah is. Before they say, they should do homosexuality, there's no. But we know what is called Sodom and Gomorrah. Imagine. The guy, let's go to Sodom. We all know. And it's the ladies' ghost that we call Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know, it's only just what they will call Sodom and Gomorrah. The guy, I don't go Sodom. So you are not in the school. So when in that context, Sodom and Gomorrah means somewhere. I say, are you traveling to Israel? No. Amen. Amen. They will go. I remember the first time I got to school, I went to my faculty. So I wanted to do registration. And my school was in India. So we were doing my registration. I needed to get something. The man said, you can only go and do that. You can go and get that copy. You can only see that copy in Lagos. I didn't know what to say again. Lagos. He said, yes, I go to Lagos. You go and get it. I go and get it. I say, I'm not thinking of, I'm going to enter Kennedy Lichuku. I'll come back to Lagos. I get just one document. And they need it. Call out print. So I can't tell. And I'm not bringing back to Lagos. I'm going back to Enugu. I'm like, hey, which kind of one can I enter? And then Lagos. Go to Lagos and do it now. I almost called my dad that day that I'm coming to Lagos too. Then someone like that, enter 15 naira to Lagos. I say, 15 naira to Lagos. Somebody should wake me up from this sleep. So later I learned the story that there's a place in school that they call Lagos. I felt very miserable that day because I was really a jiggy. I resumed school late. My mate had resumed, so before I came to school. So everybody had done that, they go to Lagos. Imagine your mate then you go to Lagos and get there, and you are still confused. I said, Lagos is not 15 naira. The Lagos I'm coming for 8 hours drive. It's 15 naira. But it was just within the school. So if you watch it. Now that word Lagos, in that place, it has a cultural connotation. It's just a place. And it's called Lagos for a reason. You know that? Amen? Amen? So words will have their meaning in the culture of their world. You heard it all? One day my brother visited me in school and I told him, let's go to Ogima. He said, what is Ogima? If I said, let's go to Ogima, you never know what it means. These are slang. Ogima. What does it do? You get to Ogima, if you get hungry again, you're a glutton. The man sells the cheapest food in school. He will buy food 200. Just 200 naira, you would be hungry for the rest of the day. Guy, I don't go to Ogima. We only go to Ogima when we don't have money. When money is almost finished, Ogima to do. Glory to God. That is in that world. But no guy likes to carry his babe to Ogima. Shandai. This guy is a poor guy. Because ladies don't like to eat at Ogima. Shandai. You know what that means? I don't know what it means. But I go there to eat. Glory to God. So where were we? So what have that meaning in the culture? Culture. So what have meaning in culture? Amen. So we asked ourselves, what is the cultural connotation of words? We saw that of seed yesterday. So when you hear the word seed, right? Don't start thinking seed is referring to mango seed alone, right? Right? Seed is also used for an offspring. We saw that yesterday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Abraham believed in God, and he believed that God's plan of his seed. Just now you know that. Look at something. Words. Matthew 16. This is charismatic renewal conference. Amen. Matthew 16. See, I'll see.
That's the system. From verse 13. Now Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We'll investigate this in the next session. Thou art the Christ. What does it mean? Hallelujah. Jesus' response also made us see that it's very vital. He said, and the other said, "Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." For Jesus to say this, Jesus' response to Jesus' statement to Peter's response shows how important Peter's response is. So Jesus will say, "My Father revealed it to you." Now when you hear the word, "was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father," it therefore means that this is what Peter said, it's revelation from Scripture. Hallelujah. It's from Scripture. Glory to God. It's according to Scripture. So it becomes very vital for us to investigate it. Is this the first time Jesus is called Christ? No. John chapter 1. Let's see all that part. Let's see John 1. You discover that when you use the word Christ for him, is actually according to Scripture. Explanation from Scripture. So what Peter had done was to give a summary, an explanation of Scripture. And Jesus said, "It was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father." John 1:45. Look at what he says there. He says, "Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write." Is it Genesis to Malachi? Look at your Bible, John 1:45. It says, "Philip findeth Nathanael and said, We have found him of whom Moses in the law." Moses in the law, is that from Genesis? Right? And the prophet, is that to Malachi? Is that it? So when you see Moses and the prophet, is referring to Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. Another name Scripture is called is Moses and the prophet. Did you see that? Scripture is called Moses and the prophet, Genesis and to Malachi. So we say, "We found him whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write about." He said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, let's go to verse 44, verse 41. Verse 41. I missed that. Verse 41. I'll read from verse 40. "And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first finded his own brother Simon and said to him, We found the who? Messiah." Did you see that? Messiah. Which is interpreted who? Christ. Did you see that? Who is interpreted what? The Christ. Who found him. Did you see that? Amen. According to Scripture. Look at chapter 3. John 3. Verse 28. Now this is John the Baptist. He says, "Jesus says, No. Jesus said, Bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ." Did you see that? "But I am sent before him." Did you see that? "I am not the Christ." John is saying he's not the Christ, but I was sent before him and he was referring to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at who he calls the Christ. John 1:29. So the next day, John saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Did you see that? So who is the Christ? Jesus. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. According to Scriptures. Now John 4. Let's get into a bit more detail. John 4, verse 25. Now this is the woman by the well, the Samaritan woman. The woman said unto him, "I know the Messiah cometh." What is it? He said, "Which is the Christ. When he shall come, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, I that speak unto you am he." Now watch this. It says, "Well, we know when the Messiah cometh, which is the Christ, he will tell us all things." So that means, how did they know Scripture? Did you see that? So they know the Messiah is come. and his name is the Christ, and he is the Christ. We're going to investigate that too shortly, but in the next section. Hallelujah. He is the Christ. So how does she know? According to scripture. Hope you're following me. Hope you're seeing it. So when you read scriptures, where you will see that it points to the Messiah. Hallelujah. And who is the Messiah? When okay. I'm going to show you something. Amen. I could continue in this teaching today, this morning. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to jump. Amen. Amen. Moses will say, he that cometh after me. He said, a prophet like unto me. A prophet like unto me. That's Deuteronomy. A prophet like unto me. Shall the Lord raise. Now when you use that word raise there, is that Hebrew word that is, that shall the Lord raise from the dead. Amen. Amen. And he was not referring to Joshua, the son of Nun. He was referring to the Jabba Yahweh. The same Jabba Yahweh that he had conversations with. That had conversations with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was referring to that same person that he is going to be a man. Anybody knew that the Messiah would come. Hallelujah. What am I following? Glory to God. Let's see a few other things. Look at verses 29. Now she went into the town. Look at what she said in verse 29. Come, see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Is that it's called Christ? Verse 42. What is? And they said to the woman, now how far they come and they seen Jesus and they believe. Look at what they said. They said to the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying. Very, very funny culture. So we have had him for ourselves and we know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that means there is the promise of the Christ in where? In the scripture. Did you see that? Let me show you one more. John 7. Now see what the perception they had about the Christ that was wrong. John 7, verse 27. Now, verse 27. How did we know that this man, they were confused. Is Jesus the Christ really? So look at what he said. And they had the wrong perception. They said, how did we know this man where he is? But when the Christ comes, no man shall know where he is. Did you see that? They had a wrong interpretation. When they read well, they will know the seed of God that will come through the lineage of. Did you see that? They missed that. Amen. They missed that. Hallelujah. Now these are the Pharisees. Verse 41. Now it says, others say, this is the Christ, but some say, shall the Christ come out of Galilee? Now, verse 42, has not the scripture said, the Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was division among the cities. You see that? Well, when you read scriptures where, it will come from the seed of David. And David said, the Lord said to my Lord. You see that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So they had a varying perception or a wrong perception in John 7 about John 7, 27 about who the Christ was. So Jesus now did something in Matthew 22. He now threw Matthew 22 a spanner on their wheel. Matthew 22, 44. 43. But I'm verse 41. And when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. No, they've been asking Jesus questions. He said, Jesus asked them a question. Say, what think you of the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said, cheap question. And they said, the son of David. Did you see how funny they think? Stop. They said, the son of David. Everybody look up. He said, the son of David. Now, that's what they said. That is what happens when you don't read your scriptures well. You will be inconsistent. in your sins. Amen. What are you hearing me? You'll be inconsistent. Now, this is the same people that said the Christ will come from the where? Seed of. Now, in John 7, where we read, what did they say? They said the Christ, we don't know where he's going to come from. Did you see confusion? Did you see confusion? The same set of people. So, not reading scriptures correctly will bet inconsistency. You will be inconsistent. Today you say A, tomorrow you talk Z. You're not consistent with your truth. Hallelujah. Amen. You are easily swayed here and there. So Jesus asked them, what do you think of the Messiah, the Christ? Whose son is there? Ah, son of David. You see that? Amen? Son of David. And Jesus now asked them, okay, if you say son of David, how then? Why then did David call him Lord? And they kept quiet and didn't ask him any other question. So why would they? Because they said son of David. Are they wrong? Are they wrong? But why did David not call him Lord? Because they missed it. He is going to be the son of David, right? Because God is going to come through his lineage. But yet he will be who? David's Lord. That's why David will now say, the Lord said to my Lord. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So, quickly, please understand why then was Jesus called the Christ? So, if we are to look at why is he called the Christ, we have to understand what is the cultural connotation of that word Christ. Did you see that? Amen. So looking at the cultural connotation of the word Christ, we have to look at some other things. Two other things first. The word in their world. How is the word name used or to call? When it says call, you know, he's called Christ, right? So what is the cultural connotation of that word to call? And that word name. What is the cultural connotation of those two words? To call and the word name. Let's look at Genesis 1, from verses 1. Jesus, we are going back to where? To where? Genesis. Thank you. Genesis 1. From verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Did you see that? So, God divided light from darkness, right? So what you think is, okay, let me not get it. Now, light from darkness, verse 5, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Watch that word there, call, to call. God called the light day, and darkness he called night. Watch it, call. That word call there, is that Hebrew word kwara? Kwara. The same word for kalio in the Greek. Kara or kwara. Q-A-R-A. Kwara. Kwara means to give a function. So God gave function to light. Amen. You are sleeping. This is the point for you to look for light. You shine your eyes. Amen. Don't miss this part. Amen. Amen. What means this part? Para means to give a function. So, what has God done to light and darkness? God gave a function to light and darkness. Light, he gave the function to be day, darkness to be night. Hallelujah. Another point, and another time again, you find the word para used aside Genesis 1 is Genesis 2. Look at Genesis 2:19. Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam and see what he would call them. And whatsoever he called every creature, it was the name thereof. Watch. Now, before you think, look up there. I don't know if you think God now gathered the animals. Then Adam now sat down. I'm now calling him, oh, you are going to be lion. Lion. Adam was now giving them new names. Like it was a, is it biology now or which one? Is it zoology class or biology class? No, zoology. Is it zoology class? So, zoologists will now say, the first zoologist we have in the world is Adam. I beg your ear. They say the first zoologist we have is Adam. No. Hallelujah. It's not a zoology class. Okay, hear me. It's not a zoology class. What Adam is doing here, remember the use of that word para, whatever he called them was the name thereof. So Paul was to give a function. So what Adam was doing was giving a function to the animal. And that is why, if you pay attention to how I've been teaching you, I will let you will have seen that I've told you that animals are used in scripture for what? To describe different kind of men. You see that? Amen? Watch this. In Genesis 3, you now find the first thing he said, say the serpent was more subtle. That is the function. Serpent was more subtle. So, the serpent is used for subtlety. So to describe subtlety, we use the serpent. Look at Genesis 48. That was what Adam had done. Genesis 48, quickly. I'm not sorry. Genesis 49. Look at verses 8. I want to be fast. Jacob called his children and was blessing them. Look at that. 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brother shall praise, and thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemy. Thy father's children shall bow before thee. 9. Judah is a lion. He called his son a lion. You see that? Now, is he saying from that day the guy will be inside the forest? No. Is a function, because lion is used for functionality. Did you hear that? Where did they get those functions from? Adam. Okay, following me. That was what Adam did. What was he called Benjamin? Could he? Okay, verse 14. He called Issachar a strong ass. A strong ass. Amen? 17. What did he call Dan? A what? Serpent. He's not saying Dan will become a snake. No. Functionality. Did you see that? Amen? Glory to God. Go again. What does he call Benjamin? A who? A wolf. They are but that's functionality. Amen. There was no zoology class. How can Adam be able to name all the whole animals and insects in the world? Think about it. But it was functionality. Hallelujah. Amen. Is what? He gave a function. So he said, whatever he called them was the name thereof. So therefore, name and to call is to give function. So he said, whatever he called them was the function thereof. Amen? So serpent was to function as what? Subtlety. You see that? Lion was to function as the one that has the scepter. Hope you are following that. Which is kingship. That is the function. Glory to God. So Adam gave functionality. Back to Genesis 2:19. So 20. So Adam gave name to the cattle. Would that be? No, watch it. He gave name to the cattle. Think about it. So what he gave them, your name will be Abel. Your name will be. No. He gave name to the cattle means he gave functionality. Okay, follow me. He gave them a function. again, functionality. And to the fowl of the air, and to the beast of the field, but for Adam was not found an helpmeet for him. Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Verse 23. And Adam, now this is the bone of my bone, that's when the woman was brought to it, and the flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Now Adam called the wife woman, which is Eve. He called the wife Eve, woman. Right? And that word means, Eve means mother of all living. Mother of all living. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Mother of all living. So, Adam gave Eve a function in God's plan. So, when you use the word all living there, the word living there is the word chaye. It is the same word he has used in Genesis 2:7. So, the Lord formed every man of the dust. I mean, formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's the word chaye. So it says, it gives the woman a function in God's plan. That's what Adam had done. He didn't start naming. He gave the woman a function in God's plan. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So when he says name, name there is the word in the Hebrew, Shem. S-H-E-M. Shem. He gave name. He gave function. Look at Genesis 4. He gave function. Now remember, I will discuss, put yesterday's teaching into what I want to say today. Now, God has told them about the seed, right? Now back to verse 25 where we read. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore him a son, and called his name Seth. Watch this. He called his name Seth. What's the meaning of the word Seth? Now, why did he call him a name? What is the function? What's the function there? He says, for God, said she, had appointed me another seed. That's the meaning of the name. So that means when Seth was born, right? He said, your name is Seth because you are another seed. You are the second seed. Did you see that? So the meaning of the word Seth means another seed. Another seed. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So Seth implies to point to another seed. Hallelujah. So the word name is used to point to function. Function. Functionality. Hallelujah. Quickly, let's see something. Enoch. Do you follow me now? Enoch. Enoch is a prophet. Right? A man that walks with God. Now, Enoch gave birth to a son called Methuselah. I hope you know that. The only thing we know about Methuselah is that he's the man that lived the longest. That's the only thing we know about him. But Enoch gave birth to Methuselah. He called the name of his son. He's a man that understands God's plan. Because names are used to point to God's function in the earth. What is the language connotation, the cultural connotation of name is used to point towards what God is doing in the earth, God's plan in the earth, not today in their world. Okay, follow me. That you not go and start thinking, let me go and change my name. Well, my name is Amadoha. No, names today in our culture today, people give their children names like fish, stone. You hope you know. People's name are stone. It doesn't mean they are stone. Somebody's name is Cobble. Yeah. You mean you haven't known? Everybody is deceiving. I was talking about them. And if you are running our teaching last 3 weeks, I said culture changes. Amen. Culture evolves over time. But because what we are reading, that culture of scripture has not changed. Amen. Amen. So we have to go back and understand it in their culture. But the culture of names today has changed. Even if your name is Amadioha, it doesn't mean anything. The reason why you're not progressing is because of your name. Shut up. Shut up. There are people who are bearing Chukwu became and they are inside Kiri Kiri. Amen? Amen? The reason why you are not progressing is your name. I slap you. What's the meaning of that? Amen? Glory to God. There are people bearing Richard and they are arrested. So what are you saying? Stop saying nonsense. What they are following me is in their world, not in our world today. Amen. Amen. Don't be like one of my friends. Without a smart. Your name is Ogoman. So it sounds like, let's go and change. I say I'm not changing anything. I'm not changing Shinbai. You know what is Shinbai? Shinbai is a Greek word for bang bang. Yeah, I'm not changing anything. Nothing! Change, call. Change me. Say that. Go away to God. Not everybody deceives you. If they believe that you are not progressing, it's got your name. I say, I want to change my name. What? My name is Mary. Uh-huh. Say Mary means... Why do you start to say Mary means again? Is it wicked or frowning or what? Jesus kind of mother. What do you mean? You say, so my name is Lucy. Uh-huh. All the time my name was, because Lucy means Lucifer. Are you Lucifer? I'm not Lucy. Somebody is hearing Jesus and his people have missed out on Champions League and he prayed. He couldn't even redeem them. My name is Jesus. They have lost that one and they are going to lose it again. And you see, Jesus is there, you know. Now you are not going to say, ah, Jesus is there. He will score 10 goals. He's not even the highest goal scorer. In fact, he goes on injury. He goes on injury and does not heal himself. Do you hope you are following me? One day, Jesus and Salah, that one, they will say, ha-ha. People that are very fat, they say, no, it's Jesus versus Salah. I don't understand what Jesus got. They say, Muhammad versus Jesus. What's your problem? What's the color of your problem? Because all their Salah, on Salah break, they trash them 3-0. They walk alone. The Holy Ghost was not with them. Let's continue. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, where were we? Name. Set. Right? Set. So let's see something. So Enoch gave birth to this child called Methuselah. Now, do you know the word Methuselah is a Hebrew word that means when he dies, it will happen. That's someone's name. When he dies, it will happen. What's the meaning of his name? Why? He knows God's plan concerning the flood. Is that? He knows God's plan concerning the flood. He knows God's plan. So he said, that will happen when he dies. Did you see that? So that's how he named the child. In conformity with God's plan. Then Methuselah gave birth to a child called Lamech. Lamech then gave birth to another son called Noah. What's the name of Noah? Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 5. Verse 29. It says, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning that the works of the work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has caused. You see that? So Noah means comfort. 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 So, you know, so do you see? So names are used to point to God's plan in their world. Did you see that? God's function in the earth. So Noah was born when Methuselah was still alive. Then the flood happened immediately Methuselah died. And Noah was alive. Did you see that? Did you see that? Okay, following me. Okay, following me. So names are used to point to God's acts in all the earth. Hallelujah. So men bear names to show God's plan, God's function in the earth. So if men bear names to show God's task, God's function in all the earth, then it will be lost on you for you to see that God had to change the name of Abraham, from Abraham to Abraham. Because God is about to use Abraham and he wants to show him that is going to make come through his seed, right? So he gives him his name, God's own name. Abraham means father of many nations. And that is God's own function. So we say names are used to point to God's function, right? So he gave him his name, father of many nations. And he was talking about God's family, father of many nations. When Paul was to write, Paul will make you see that Abraham is actually God's name. Yeah. I bow my knees to the Father of glory, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. As Abraham. Hallelujah. That's God's name. Father of many nations. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. Father of many nations. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Genesis 32, verse 28, God called the name of Jacob. He says, and he said, thy name. Can we change it? Thy purpose. This is Jacob. Can we change it to thy purpose? Thy function. Because name is used for function, for purpose. Now let's call it like that. He said, thy purpose, thy name shall no more be Jacob. Right? You know, Jacob, the name Jacob is actually like a 419. Amen? Swindler. He will no more be Jacob, but who? Israel. For as a priest. Now that is the meaning of the name. For as a priest, have thou power with God and with man. Hallelujah. So the name Israel is the word Sorael in the Hebrew. It means one that has power with God. One that prevails with God. Hallelujah. One that prevails with God. You find that word again? The name of that word, that was Sorel in the word in Hosea 12 verse 3. Has power with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Exodus. Told you already. Morning sections are for study. Exodus. Let's begin to close. Little by little. Exodus 3. Watch this. Now God appeared to Moses. God appeared to Moses. And now he's sending Moses to Egypt. Verse 13. I need your attention now. He said, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and said to them, the God of your fathers. Now God is sending Moses to them. Said, and I said that the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. They will ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So Moses is saying to God, if you say I should go and tell them. Now if I go and meet them, they will ask me, what is his name? Remember, God has said, tell them the God of your father, of their fathers. Hope you know that. You know it is the God of your fathers. But he now asked, what is his name? Is it that they don't know him? But say, what is his name? They are asking a very important question. They are asking, what is his purpose? What is his function? You see that? What is his what? Function. And what did God say? Say to them, verse 14. Say to them, and Moses said to Moses, I am that I am. He said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am that I am. Now that word I am is a verb and a name. I am that I am. Now he speaks of his humanity. So whenever that name is a name reserved for God, I am that I am is God's name. Amen. And I told you yesterday that when people, I've heard people say Jesus never said he's God. That is a stupid thing to say. Whenever Jesus used the word I am, they all knew he was talking about is the God in Exodus. Is this person I'm speaking to? Moses. Amen. So I showed up yesterday, John 8. They were arguing, and Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they asked him, how old are you? Are you up to 50 years? How will you say Abraham rejoiced to see your day? That's John 8, 61 into 52. They are you up to 50 years? Then Jesus now said, before Abraham was, I am. They now carry stone to stone him. Whenever they carry stone, it means is to carry stone is it implies you committed a capital offense. You have done what is called blasphemy. Now, when he said, somebody said they carry stone because he said before Abraham was there, they existed. No, they dealt with that before when they asked him, are you up to 50 years? But when he said before Abraham was, I am, they know that that name, that word I am, they don't use it. Is a word reserved for God. Is that word in the Greek, egoema? So he said there, egoema, that he is the egoema of Abraham. That's what he said. And they carry stone. Because when he says he's the egoema of Abraham, he's saying he is the God that visited Abraham on that mountain. And he said, this is blasphemy. And he carried stone. That is, that they stoned him. Did you see that? Did you see that? Capital offense. In chapter 10 of John, they now came to him again. And Jesus, they now carried stone. Jesus now said, what have I done that you guys want to stone me? Look at John 10. Amen. Amen. Verse 31 into 32. And then the Jews, now he said, I am my father and one. They understood what he said. I am my father and one, and they carried stone. But yet, when he said, I am my father and one, it means the same word again. He goes again to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he picks that word. He says, yea, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Amen. Ikad. So he said, I am my father, I Ikad. Ah! They carry stone. Man, those guys are like to carry stone, shall. Amen? So, look at what Jesus now said. Ah, verse 32. And he said, many good works I've shown thee for my father. For which of these works do you stone me? Look at 33, everybody. Then the Jews are saying, for good works we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou being a man, make thyself. Did you see that? The use of that word, ego am I, I am. Jesus uses it a lot to make you see that he is God. Hallelujah. Amen. Back to Exodus. We're not getting there now. That is that new section. Amen. Amen. So when he says I am in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14, I am there is his function. So he says, tell them I am. So we say that word I am is both a verb and a noun. Right? And it speaks of his humanity and his redemption. So when it says Moses, I am. That word, I am. It means I will be a man. That's the word for redemption. For redemption, I will be a man. Moses means, hallelujah, that is Dabba, Yahweh, is going to be a man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was why you asked him, show me your glory. Saw that. Hallelujah. 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 So, he's going to tell them. So, he gives him that name. A name in the redemption that he should go tell the children of Israel in Egypt because he wants to redeem them. So he said, tell him, I am has sent you. Meaning, I'm coming to redeem you. Hallelujah. Hope everyone knows me. So that name I am is used in the redemption. It's a name for the redemption. Then in Genesis, in Exodus 6, you see the way we are moving from Genesis to Exodus, right? In Exodus 6, did you see God's name? God's name is used for his function. He wants to go and deliver his children from Egypt. What did he do? He gives them his function. I'm the Redeemer. Right? I am. So they say, what is his function? What is his name? I am is his name. Meaning, I will deliver you. Glory to God. Hallelujah! In Exodus 6 now, verse 3, verse 2, and God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob by the name God Almighty. Stop. I want to stop there. Amen. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as who? Well, that's where you have the word El Shaddai. Okay, follow me. El Shaddai, what we call El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Say, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai. What is El Shaddai? Why would he? Remember, he promised Abraham what? seed and the land, right? The land and the seed. Isaac what? Land and seed. Jacob what? Land and seed, right? Right? Was that the promise of the land? Now he now said, I appear to them as who? El Shaddai. Let's see the meaning of the word El Shaddai. El Shaddai, I'm going to skip some things now, but get the teaching of understanding the gospel. So I will comprehensively taught them. Now, the word El Shaddai is from another root word that means that is used for, the word El Shaddai is used for a wild land. A what? A wild land. Amen? Shaddai is used for a wild land. So, when God appeared to Abraham in Genesis 17, in Genesis 17, verses 1, look at what it says. Genesis 17, 1. And Abraham was 90 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. So, remember, in Genesis 15, he had told him about the land. Right? He told him about the land. Now, the land is not Canaan land. We'll see that in the afternoon. The land is not Canaan land. Watch it. Now, he told him about the land. Now, in 17, he now says, I am God Almighty. I am what? God Almighty. Watch it. He told him in chapter 15 about a land. He now said, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. And El Shaddai means, Shaddai means land. Wild land. Amen. So what is God saying to Abraham? That promise of the land that I told you is not Canaan. It's not Ogoloko. It's not Lausu. It's not Kasi. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. That land that I told you is not Israel. It's not in Asia. That land I told you is not in Enugu. It's not in Abakleke. That land I told you, hallelujah, is me myself. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. So God is the white land. So he says to Abraham, I am the Shaddai. Hope you're following me. I am the Shaddai. I am that land. Remember, we said yesterday that he is the seed. He is also the land. Hope you're following me. God's function. So what is God's plan? Remember I told Abraham, leave your father's house. Leave everything to the land that I will show you. Hallelujah. Did you remember that? Genesis 12. To the land that I will show you. Now, the writer of people now say Abraham by faith journeyed from town to town. Right? He said, looking for that house whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11. Hallelujah. So, meaning Abraham was not looking for a building. No! He was not looking for a land, an empty land. No! Abraham knew he was looking for that land whose maker is God. Hallelujah! And God now says, I am that land. I am that land. Glory to God. That's what God is saying. God is saying he is the land that he showed to Abraham. Or that he told Abraham about. Glory to God. Glory to God. So God is that land. So God is saying to Abraham that he is the land. He is the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo, glory. We'll see that consistent truth later on as we progress. Hallelujah. This afternoon we'll get to see more on that. Okay. Shortly we'll see it. Okay, put it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God is called the land. It is function. No wonder. The letter of Hebrews will say we have come to God. Hallelujah. We'll see all that shortly as we round up. Hallelujah. Genesis 48. So God is called the land. God is the Shaddai. Hallelujah. He is the Redeemer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at Genesis 48. Woo! Glory. Verses 15 into 16. 15. Look at, it says, this is Jacob. He's blessing his son's children. And he blessed Joseph. Blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, Say, the God which fed me all my life, long unto this day. Look at, he's talking about God. What did he call God in verse 16? He said, the angel which redeemed me from the evil, from all evil, bless the Lord. Did you see that? So he called God angel. Hallelujah. Now that word angel there, malak, is a word for servant. Servant. Now, I'm not saying all the angels in the Bible is God, no. But this is what he called God. So God is called angel. You see that? You know, I'm not saying every angel in the Bible is God. What are you hearing me? Before people will go and say, Pastor said every angel is God. No! Follow the way I'm teaching you. So that you don't make blunder. Amen. So he calls God a servant. So God is referred to as a servant or what, a messenger. When he's the one carrying out his assignment himself. Now I told you that. He's called the Dada Yahweh, when he brings his work, his words himself, right? In a visible reality form. He's called the servant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's called the servant. A servant. Look at Malachi. Malachi 3. God is used for, God is also called angel, servant. Remember I told you yesterday that we'll get to see this today, right? Right? But next time, someone tells you, Jesus is not God, he's a servant. You say, God is called, God himself is God's servant. Do you see that? Malachi 3. Malachi is before Genesis. I mean, before Matthew. I say Genesis. Malachi 3:1. He said, behold, I will send my messenger. What is? And he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now, watch it. I'll send my messenger and he will prepare before me. He will prepare the way before me. Now, this is referring to messenger out of John the Baptist. Right? Now, look at what he now said. He says, watch this. Before me and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant. So he called the Lord the messenger of the covenant. You see that? Messenger. The same word malak. The same word malak. A servant, a messenger. Hallelujah. So God is a messenger. So in Malachi 3, you find two messengers there. One is John the Baptist, according to Mark, and the writer of the synoptic, and Christ. The Christ is a messenger. The Lord, the Christos, God himself is a messenger. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus in Matthew 20, verse 25, called himself a messenger. Also, Matthew 20, 25. He's God. You are seeing the same thing. God is a messenger. God is a servant. So Jesus is God. It therefore means he will be a messenger. Who are following me? Matthew 20. Let's begin to round up now. Hallelujah. Matthew 20:25. He says, then Jesus called them unto him and said, know ye that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. For whosoever shall be the great among you, let him be your minister. Says, and whosoever shall be the chief among you, let him be your servant. Says, even as the Son of Man came not into the world to minister, but to give his life as a, if the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. That is the word diakonio. That is the word used for a servant. But to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus came into the world as a servant. So in giving his life. You see that? So he came in as a servant. So since Jesus is God in the Old Testament book, right? Visible to men as the Dabba Yahweh, then he is going to be a minister also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see that? So the next question we're now doing, since his name in the Old Testament book is the Dabba Yahweh, then how come? Why did he not bear the name Jesus? We'll deal with that later on. Hallelujah. But take note, that name, the word name, deals with functionality. Hallelujah. Deals with functionality. So if you miss the function of that name. If you miss the function, you will miss the meaning of the name. If you miss the function, you will miss the meaning of the name. So when Moses said, you shall not call the name of the Lord your God in vain, what does it mean? He's not talking about pronouncing the name. Jesus, Yeshua, Yehoshua, Yahshua, Yahisha. He's not talking about that. When he says, do not call the name of the Lord your God in vain, it means do not call it without functionality. Because the name deals with a purpose. Name deals with purpose. Hallelujah. So you call his name with a purpose, not the pronunciation. Say, you know, it's not Jesus, it's Yeshua. It's not Yeshua, it's Yehoshua. It's not Yehoshua, it's wrong. Yeshushu. Yahshua. Yahuwah. Yahuwah HaMashiach. Someone told me, when I used to tell you guys about Yehoshua, Yahushua, Yahuwah, Yahusha. Sometimes I was going to tell the person, and I came one another day to come and teach the person again. That, see, I was wrong. I wanted to tell the person I was wrong. So when I started, I didn't go straight. I started teaching from Luke. But I said, hey, I want to give you a testimony. I said, well, hey, that name, Yehoshua. Hey, he walked to Jesus. He said, she had a dream. She was shouting Jesus, Jesus, when we were walking. She now started, Yehoshua, Mashiach. And everything I'm scattered. I said, hell, Jesus. Where am I going to start from now? The name is in the function. There's another guy bearing Jesus that cannot score a goal. But the function. Amen. When I say Jesus, I expect something to happen. Okay, hear me. We're going to see that in the next two sessions. Hallelujah. This evening, we're having power meeting. This night. The title of this night meeting is Power Time. Power. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. What is the function of the name? Okay, hear me. What is the function of the name? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What's the function of the name? Do not call this name without functionality. What's the function of the name?